Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the abode of supreme peace. And after Vedam, it is time for bhajans. It is time to soak ourselves in that medium which has the power to connect us to the cosmic consciousness. The easiest way we can connect to the Lord is through bhajans. And during Guru Purnima, we always hear the bhajan Manasa Bhajri Guru Charanam. It was sung this morning, it was sung yesterday, and every time this bhajan is sung, it tells us in such a compelling manner that how Bhagwan very emphatically told us right at the time he declared his avatarhood that the way to get rid of this alternative forces of pain and pleasure, joy and sorrow, is to surrender at the feet of the Lord. And he communicated this through a bhajan. And he said, what he needs is bhava, is that devotion when we sing. And today, as we celebrate Guru Purnima, which is just round the corner, let us immerse ourselves in ruminating on this Sadguru who can take us across this ocean of birth and death of this worldly existence. We will learn a bhajan which adores our Bhagwan as the Sadguru. I am Team Radio Sai Bishu. So let us begin. Let us close our eyes and let us start with a prayer, picturing him in the mirror of our mind, in the stillness of our heart.
Let us offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today adores our beloved Lord as the supreme protector, as the supreme preceptor. This bhajan is in the language Hindi. The first line goes like this.
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva.
So let's begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan. And then, as always, we will move on to learning its tune, the raga, and the meaning of every word of this bhajan. You will also hear about the story of how this bhajan was composed from the horse's mouth. So all that is coming up in this episode. Let's begin with the lyrics.
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva Sesha Ramana Sadguru Deva Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva Guru Hai Sat Chit Anand Deva Anand Deva Shri Sai Deva.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learn how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Brother Ravi Kumar after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join as Anirudh follows Ravi Kumar.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D sharp pancham. Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva
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 Sesha Ramana Sadguru Deva
Sesha Ramana Sadguru Deva
Sesha Ramana Sadguru Deva
Sesha Ramana Sadguru Deva
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva
Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai 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 Deva
Guru hai Sat Chit Anand 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 Deva
Anand Deva Shri Sai 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 Deva
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva
So that is how melodiously this bhajan flows and you heard Ravi Kumar and Anirudh demonstrate to you slowly line by line. And now, for those of us who are keen students of music and want to know more about what makes this bhajan so beautiful, Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this composition?
Saram Vishu, this is a very beautiful melodious composition in the rag Charukeshi.
Charukeshi.
So the Arohana and Avarohana of the raga, where you have all the seven notes, Sampurna raga.
Sa re
Ris Shudri.
Ga,
ga is also shud.
Ma, pa.
So till sari ga ma pa, it is major scale only.
Yes.
Pa dha.
That is komal dha.
Yeah.
Ni.
Ni is komal ni.
Ni one. Ni one, yeah. Yes.
Sa ni da pa ma ga re sa ni sa da. Da ni sa.
In this raga, you have many popular kritis and songs. You have many film songs, and one of them which just comes to my mind is a very famous Malayalam song sung by Shri Yeshoda sir. And we also sing this song sometimes during our festivals and Krishna Janmashtami time.
Yes.
It is titled Krishna Kripa Sagaram.
Krishna Kripa Sagaram Krishna Kripa Sagaram Guruvayupuram Janimokshakaram Krishna Kripa Sagaram Krishna Kripa Sagaram
It goes like that.
Beautiful. Yeah, go on, Anirudh. Please go ahead and do a small alap.
Yeah, sure. I'll try my best.
Resist asking you to do more, but I think we have to go on with the classroom.
So, yeah.
So let's move on and let's do the swaras for every line.
Yeah.
Vinay is here with us to follow the swaras after every line.
Sure, we'll do the first line.
Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva Sasagari gamare sada dadani nisasa
Sasagari gamare sada dadani nisasa
Sesha Ramana Sagurudeva Sagamada dadada Da pagama papa magarisa
Sagama da 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 pagama papa magarisa
Again we come back to the first line.
Yeah.
Bhava bhaya harana Shri Sai Deva Sa 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 ni ni sa ni pa Pani sa gari ni ni sa
Sa sa sa sa ni ni sa ni pa Pani sa gari ni ni sa
Guru hai sat chit anand deva Papani dani da pama pagama gari sarirega
Papani dani da pama pagama gari sarirega
Anand deva Shri Sai deva Mare mare ne ne re 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 ga ma ga re sa
Mare mare ni ni re 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 ga ma ga re sa
So thanks very much Anirudh. Okay, before we move on to the beat, Anirudh, are there more bhajans in this raga?
Yeah, there are some bhajans in this raga which come to my mind. Like one bhajan which is sung by Brother Ravi Kumar in Bhavanjali series is
अरज सुनो प्रभु साई नाथा दर्शन दो अब स्वामी
Beautiful bhajan and you have
Nandanandana Navanita Chora Gokula Bala Venu Gopala
And
Tum ho anath nath bhagwan
Wow. And I think listeners can explore. There will be many more bhajans.
Yeah.
So shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is regular 8 beat, Adi Talam.
Yeah.
And the count is 1, 2, 3,
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva.
Yeah, I think you've done some justice to the beat and the raga. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arun Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam. So now we are familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. Let's move on to understand the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung, so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to our beloved Lord. And for this, let us listen to the composer of this bhajan, Mr. T.V. Hariharan, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. He explains how, by Bhagwan's grace, this bhajan got manifested when he was on one occasion in the temple town of Thiruvannamalai.
I was sitting in Seshadri Swami Ashram, yet another visit. In Samadhi of
Seshadri Swami Ashram in the same Thiruvannamalai.
Next to the Ramana Ashram.
Yes, he's also enlightened.
He's a Siddha Purusha. Who used to wear old torn cloths.
Yes.
Anybody gives new cloth, he will go give it to the graveyard person who burns the body. And he will suddenly stay in Nala. You know, Nala will be Ganda.
Yes.
It will be so bad odor.
Drainage.
He will be there in drainage. And suddenly he will come out of drainage. It will smell perfume.
Oh my God.
He will go to a shop and take everything and throw away those things. That day that shop will have tremendous business. So that is the type of personality who looked after Ramana at his young age when he came to do tapas in a guha in Thiruvannamalai temple. He used to take care. So I was sitting in Samadhi Mandir, suddenly the words comes. Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva.
Oh, please, yeah.
Where that word
please
is gone,
on, yeah, explaining about this person.
Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva.
That is it.
Shesha Ramana Satguru Deva Shesha Ramana Satguru Deva Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva Guru hai Sat Chit Anand Deva Anand Deva Shri Sai Deva Anand Deva Shri Sai Deva Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva. This song came in that Samadhi Mandir of Seshadri Swami Ashram.
That's how you had the second line, his name, Sesha Ramana.
Little did I realize, later Ramana was called Chinna Seshadri. Somebody told me, because Sesha Ramana, why should Sesha Ramana come?
You also trying to understand what is the meaning of Sesha Ramana.
Ramana, you know, enchanting the heart.
Correct.
Aruna is, you know.
Generally, you know, we tend to understand this as
with the personality.
Sometimes also, you should think of Adi Sesha.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think of him as Vishnu and Adi
and
Sesha.
Somebody
trying to understand what is the thing
is
trying to convey.
Yes.
Propose that trying to convey.
Because I found Ramana Maharshi, all of us know that he is a realized soul.
Yes.
So Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva. He is a Shri Gurudeva. Aruna Ramana means Aruna is, I told you, illumined.
Yes.
It's not Arunachala, it's not only a hill, it gives illumination to people.
Yes.
That is Aruna Ramana. That Arunachala who illumined Ramana, and Ramana who was illuminated in Arunachala, Shri Gurudeva. He's a Gurudeva. Sesha Ramana Sadgurudeva. Seshadri Swami and Ramana is Sadgurudeva. At later when he got illumined and everything, that Seshadri Swami is a Siddha Purusha. So Sesha Ramana, since he was connected with Ramana, he's a Sadguru. there. Because he guided Ramana Maharshi.
He guided Ramana Maharshi.
So Sadgurudeva, guided means which way? By protecting him in tapas.
Yes.
So by that he is a Sadguru. Ramana himself accepted Seshadri Swamila as his guru. So Sadgurudeva. But who is our Sai? Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva. Your cycle of samsara, the fear of samsara is thrown away. So he is Shri Sai Deva. Crossing the stage of Guru, Sadguru, you call Parameshri Guru, everything. Guru himself is God. That's good.
Yes.
But for normal understanding, because the evolution takes place in the thought process, so Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva. Because Swami has mentioned lots of time about Arunachalishwa. Swami's favorite place is also that. He has also mentioned about Ramana Maharshi also many a times. So I was shocked actually why these Ramana words are coming. Sesha Ramana. Now whether people will accept. But what to do? It is conversation. It is not whether think about people, whether they will accept. It
exactly.
comes automatically.
Exactly.
And Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva. The one who has destroyed the fear of the ocean of samsara. Every Sai devotee can claim. Yes, Swami told, I am God, you are God. Swami has said, I am also God. When Swami has lifted everyone to that divine level, that is God actually. There is a Tamil saint who sang a song, Enakkum Unakkum Isendapurutham Enavar. In that he is telling, you lifted me to that height. He is telling, that same poet is telling. To what height? Equal to you. And that's what Swami did.
Wow.
Because only God can lift any normal being to that state. Not anybody else. And Swami lifted everyone. That's why he addressed us Prema Surupalara, Divyatma Surupalara. He never addressed, oh, ye devotees who have come here. Never. Embodiments of divine love. Embodiments of divine Atma. We have heard the Mahamantra for years together. Now it is up to us to raise ourselves to that state. That he will raise us certainly. So Bhava Bhayaharana. So once he has addressed us like that, so destroy the fear of ocean of life. Say, he is true guru. Who is the true guru? We are talking of Seshadri Swami, Ramana Maharshi, and also Swami. True guru is truth, existence and bliss. Guru hai, sat, chit, anandeva. Why this word came?
I think that is the definition
of
God.
That is the definition of God. That is the definition of Guru. Sat, chit, truth, existence, bliss. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. That's our Swami. So this song came like that. Aruna Ramana.
So that was the story behind this composition from the composer himself. And now as we proceed in this program, let us dwell on the meaning of every word of this bhajan a little more. And we begin with the first line.
Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva.
The first word here is Aruna, which means bright like fire. In this context, it refers to Lord Shiva, who is worshipped as the holy Arunachala hill in the state of Tamil Nadu in South India. Legend has it that eons ago, the Supreme Lord Shiva manifested in the town of Thiruvannamalai in Tamil Nadu as a huge pillar of brilliant light, which later cooled down into what is revered today as the Arunachala hill. The second word is Ramana, which refers to Ramana Maharshi, probably one of the most famous Indian sages of the 20th century. He attained self-realization in the holy hill of Arunachala. Sri Ramana strongly advocated the path of self-inquiry as the key to self-realization and also stressed on the philosophy of non-dualism. Bhagwan too emphasizes on the principle of non-dualism and the universal oneness of all beings. But what is really revealing is something that happened in mid-April 1950. Swami was at that time in a devotee's home in Chennai, and one devotee, Mr. Varadu, reports what happened on the night of April 14, 1950. I quote, "That night, Swami suddenly went into a trance by 9 p.m. and when he was about to fall down, Mr. Krishna and I held Swami by our hands and Swami was lying across us. Then his body rose up in the air from our arms. His body was stiff as a board and he was murmuring, Maharshi has reached my lotus feet. Maharshi has reached my lotus feet. Unquote. The next morning, newspapers reported how Ramana Maharshi left his mortal coil around 9 p.m. the previous night. In fact, all the English and Tamil newspapers, which arrived on the morning of April 15th from Chennai, referred to a meteor which was seen in the sky at 8:47 p.m. on the night of April 14th. This happened over the entire area, which was then called the Madras State, and a large number of people saw it in different places. All these eyewitnesses were actually struck by this peculiar phenomenon. Perhaps this shooting star finally sought refuge at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Actually, the story does not end there. That night, after Baba mentioned that Maharshi had reached his lotus feet, devotees nearby saw that the sole of Baba's right foot split open and nearly 2 kilograms of sweet-smelling vibhuti poured out from the sole of his foot. And when they were collecting this vibhuti, Swami was levitating in the air, and when he came down, he again said, now very clearly, Ramana has merged in me. So that is the profound connection between the Jagadguru, the Supreme Teacher, and Ramana Maharshi. So Aruna Ramana in this line refers to this exalted saint, Sri Ramana Maharshi of Thiruvannamalai. The third word is Sri. This word is generally used as a title of respect in Indian culture and is akin to Mr. in the English language. Gurudeva, the fourth word, can be split into Guru and Deva. Generally, people use the word Guru to refer to a teacher or preceptor, but the real meaning of Guru is something else. On one occasion, Swami explained that the word Guru can be split into Gu and Ru. Gu stands for Gunatita, one who is beyond attributes, beyond the qualities like Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, the different propensities that make each man different from the other in his attitude and behavior, in his inclinations and interest. But Guru is actually beyond all this. And Ru stands for Rupa Varjita, that is, one who has no form, no specific form. Again, he is one who transcends a particular form. A Guru can assume any form. So who is the one who is formless and attributeless? Only the Infinite One. That is why Bhagwan always says, only God is your true Guru, and this Guru is in fact present very much inside you, in your heart. All we have to do is to submit to this realization and look inside to unlock what is latent in us. And the word Deva means Lord. So this line, Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva, in this we adore the Almighty One who shines as a bright light. We also exalt the enlightened sage, Ramana Maharshi. Let's move on to the second line.
Sesha Ramana Sadguru Deva.
Sesha in this context refers to Seshadri Swamigal, a great saint who lived in Thiruvannamalai in Tamil Nadu. He in fact used to look after the young boy Ramana, who later on became the enlightened soul, Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi. These two saints were actually contemporaries. In 1896, when young Ramana arrived in Thiruvannamalai, the first place he stayed in was the great temple of Arunachaleshwar. For a few weeks, he remained in the thousand-pillared hall, but very soon he was troubled by some urchins who pelted him with stones as he sat there silently. So he shifted to an underground vault known today as Patala Lingam, where sunlight never penetrated. Without moving, he sat in deep meditation, absorbed in his divine inner self here for weeks and days. He was blissfully unaware of being bitten by the ants or the vermin living there. But unfortunately, the mischievous boys soon discovered this place too, and they indulged in their pastime of throwing stones at young Ramana. It is at this time that Seshadri Swamigal, who lived in Thiruvannamalai, he stood guard over young Ramana and drove away the street kids. In fact, it was Seshadri Swamigal who asked one of his devotees, Venkatachala Mudalayar, to lift Ramana out of that underground vault, and it was he who cleaned Ramana's blood oozing wounds and in fact revealed Ramana to the world. The ashram of Seshadri Swamigal today stands next to Sri Ramana Ashram in Thiruvannamalai. In fact, Ramana Maharshi was often called as Chinna Seshadri, meaning the little Seshadri. The third word is Sadgurudeva. Sat means true, and Gurudeva, we know, refers to the teacher. So in this line, we adore the enlightened saint Ramana and his contemporary Seshadri Swamigal, who like great masters have guided hundreds and thousands on the spiritual path. Let's move on to the third line.
Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva.
Bhava means worldly existence. Bhaya refers to fear. Harana means to destroy. Shri Sai Deva. Sai Deva means Lord Sai. There is a moving tale concerning an alumna of Bhagavan's university, Miss Uma Ramakrishnan from the Anandpur campus. She completed her bachelor's in science in 1995. Within 3 months after she joined the Anandpur college, one day during the mid-semester exams, she was called to the warden's room to meet a visitor. This was a surprise for her because she was not expecting anyone. In fact, her mother had called her up a week earlier and had never mentioned that she was coming to Anandpur or anything of that nature. Nevertheless, expecting to see her parents, Uma rushed to the warden's room, but what she found there was another family friend waiting for her. And she told Uma that her father was not well and that the warden had given permission for her to go home. Throughout the trip back home, Uma's guardian would not divulge anything. Finally, unable to contain herself, Uma asked how grave the situation was and whether her father was really alive. And she was relieved to hear that yes, he was alive. Uma reached the hospital in a rather disturbed state of mind. The constant beep of the monitors, the bedpan and the other paraphernalia made her realize how gravely ill her father was. She saw him at the far end of the room, and even as she approached him, she sensed that something was not right. Her father lay still on his bed. His face looked distorted and his arm and legs looked stiff. Uma says her mind went blank. She did not know what to do or say. She simply stood there and started crying silently. However, her mother looked unusually quiet and peaceful under the circumstances. And so Uma asked her to explain what was happening. It is then that her mother revealed what happened a week earlier. Uma's mother that day was completing a puja at her home, and suddenly she heard a loud crash in the kitchen. And when Uma's father failed to respond to her call, she got up from the puja and rushed down to see him having seizures. His arms and legs were fluttering and his face looked strange. And hearing her cry, a neighbor rushed to help transport Uma's father to a nearby hospital. And a CT scan revealed cerebral hemorrhage with about 95% cerebral clots. Uma's father had suffered from a paralytic stroke. He had lost speech, vision, and the left side of the body was completely paralyzed. He was shifted to the ICU and was given 24 hours to live. Naturally, Uma's mother was in a state of shock, total disbelief. Her mind was tormented by so many fear-arousing questions. What will I do if he leaves us? Who will take care of us? Who will look after the children, their marriage, their future? And with these thoughts, Uma's mother could not even cry. It was late into the night when she was allowed to visit Uma's father in the ICU while her relatives waited outside, and Uma's mother went to a corner and sat there leaning against the wall, drained of all energy. all she could remember were just two words, Sai Ram. She started mentally chanting the name of Bhagwan and kept crying and beseeching for his help. He was her sole refuge. She prayed to him to give her the strength to accept whatever destiny had in store for the family. And as she prayed and cried, she had fallen asleep. All of a sudden, she felt a jolt and woke up. But what she saw startled her even more. She saw a slender hand, adorned by an orange cuff, gliding along the frail body of her husband. But physical fatigue and an overwhelming feeling caught up with her, and before she knew, she again fell asleep, failing to understand fully what she had witnessed. In the morning, Uma's father woke up to the sounds of the beeping monitors. She didn't even know that she had slept off. She had spent the whole night leaning against the wall. And when she went to check on her husband and stood by his bedside, she was overcome with deep silence. The maid who swept and cleaned the ICU floors was still asleep. She was the only other person who had been allowed to stay in the ICU the previous night. After a while, the maid woke up. She sat on the floor, and as she was tying her open hair into a knot, she spoke to Uma's mother and mentioned about a visitor who came to see Uma's father the previous night. She said that the way he had been dressed was rather odd. He sat on the stool next to Uma's father's bed and gently stroked his paralyzed arm and leg. The maid mentioned that this person also carried on a conversation with him in a subdued voice. She further stated that she had assumed that this stranger might be a family member and also asked if Uma's mother needed to be woken up. But this strange-looking person turned and looked at Uma's mother, who was asleep, and told the maid not to wake her up as she looked very tired. She also told her that he would leave in a short while and asked her to inform Uma's mother about his visit when she woke up in the morning. And after this, he left. And as you can imagine, Uma's mother could not believe what she was hearing. The thoughts of the previous night just came flooding back. All that she could remember was the orange cuff adorned slender hand. And immediately she drowned the maid with a deluge of questions. What was he like? What was he wearing? When did he come? What did he say? And now the maid became a bit irritated. All she did was she just walked past Uma's father's bed to the nightstand. And there she picked up a photograph and she showed it to Uma's mother and said, "This is the man who came last night." And Uma's mother just broke down in gratitude to Bhagwan, because that picture was a picture of Bhagwan where he was lovingly and tenderly stroking a calf. Needless to say, Uma's father survived that fateful yet memorable night and recovered very soon. When we sing this line, "Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva," we hail the Almighty Lord who can simply remove all our fears and anxieties and wipe away all the trials and tribulations of worldly existence and give us the strength to face any ordeal, however hard it may seem. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Guru hai Sat Chit Anand Deva.
The second word here is hai, which means is in Hindi. Sat Chit Ananda is a very powerful and profound phrase, and any amount of explanation is insufficient. But simply put, it refers to the supreme state of bliss experienced perennially by God and God-realized souls. Sat refers to that which transcends the three phases of time, past, present and future. Chit refers to total awareness. Anand refers to supreme bliss. And who experiences this? Deva, the Lord. Baba once said, "Sat Chit Ananda is absolute being or existence, the non-dual state which is not bound by time, space, cause and effect." On another occasion, while explaining the meaning of this word Baba, Swami said, B-A means being awareness, bliss, Atman. That is Baba, that is Sai, That is Sai Satguru. So in this line, Guru Hai Sat Chit Ananda Deva, we adore Bhagwan as the supreme teacher, the one who is the supreme form of pure existence, awareness and bliss at all times. Let's move on to the last line.
Ananda Deva, Shri Sai Deva.
Ananda Deva, as we just discussed, means the Lord of bliss, undiluted bliss. And that is what we see in Bhagwan's life. Take any chapter from the sacred saga of his story and you will find how the Lord is bliss personified. At times, even when his physical form underwent so much suffering, the Lord was unshakably blissful. In fact, referring to the scorpion bite incident in his childhood, when someone asked Swami why he chose to undergo that horrendous adventure, Bhagwan said, "Even after seeing all that fortitude and that miracle of a little boy passing unscathed through all that terror, are you not convinced that I am divine? How then would you have reacted if one fine day I simply made the announcement of my avatarhood? I wanted to make known that I am made of divine stuff, impervious to human suffering, pain or joy." In fact, during the last days of Bhagwan, when a team of expert doctors from Delhi arrived and he was asked how he was feeling and if Bhagwan would like to say anything to the doctors, Swami said, "Nenu haiga unnanu, naku e nopi ledu," which means, "I am perfectly fine. I have no pain or suffering." Profoundly, these, dear listeners, were the last words of Bhagwan. So that is Swami. That is Baba, ever in bliss, the imperishable perennial storehouse of undiluted bliss. That is the meaning of this line, Ananda Deva, Shri Sai Deva. So let's install this Satguru in our hearts and sing this bhajan once again. Now, with thousands of others, you will now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashantanilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University.
Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva. Ananda Deva, Shri Sai Deva.
And that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, you are welcome to send us your feedback and comments. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With hearts full of gratitude, we offer this humble attempt at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
And with that, it's time to draw the curtains on the Bhajan Tutor program, but our Thursday live goes on. And dear listeners, the next program on the anvil is Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. After Vedam, after Bhajan, it is time to soak ourselves with Bhagwan's message. My colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash will take you through one discourse, and you will immerse yourself in unraveling the beauty and the profundity hidden in one discourse. I will be back after Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam for a fresh episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today, we continue our discussion on Bhagwan as the Sadguru, as the preceptor unparalleled. I have two guests, like in the previous episodes, Mr. Venkateshwarlu from the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School and Brother Sai Giridhar from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So they will be joining me, and we will have, by Bhagwan's grace, an enriching discussion, spending the time ruminating on His grace and His glory. So that is coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much. Sayonara.